We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to The Nick Kale Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, good to have you guys aboard here on this Saturday. Final 40 minutes. We'll make our NFL picks against the spread before we get out of here in about 20. But right now, let's get back to the Falcons. Haven't talked about them for about 2 hours on the show, but now's a good time as we welcome in our buddy David Walker, editor for the Falcoholic, SB Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at Falcoholic DW, and he's back with us again. What's going on, David? How you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm doing great, Nick. It's good to be with you.
So let's start with the bye week, right? We took inventory of this team about 2 hours ago, got into the rookie Kyle Pitts, got into the head coach, the schedule coming out of the bye, which is very manageable these next 3 weeks. But I want to start, what has been your assessment of Arthur Smith so far through 5 weeks?
You know, I think expectations for any new coach sometimes tend to get out of whack with fans. Realistically, he is a rookie. The same that many of these guys are. And he's a guy that's made some mistakes. You know, we saw that in Washington at the end of the game. A lot of people felt like he got way too conservative towards the end. But he's learning from those mistakes. He course corrected, you know, did the exact opposite to close out the Jets game. That is a good sign. You know, we've seen head coaches who sort of, you know, stick their heads in the sand with that and just blame execution. They blame their players. He's taken accountability for that. I think he's getting better, and I still have a lot of faith that this guy could be the long-term answer for the Falcons.
You mentioned the fact that he's a rookie. We spent about 20 minutes in the first hour of the show talking about the other six rookie head coaches. Here's the way I rank them. You tell me if you agree with where I have Arthur and where the rankings are in general. Brandon Staley with the Chargers, number one. Arthur Smith, two. And then 3 through 7, I have Robert Saleh with the Jets, Sirianni with the Eagles, Culley with the Texans, and then Campbell and Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I think that is pitch perfect, honestly. It's hard to argue with the Chargers being top of the list right now. But honestly, you know, Brandon Staley stepped into a relatively good situation there. Mm-hmm. Young quarterback, up and coming. The Falcons, I think, coming in was a really difficult ask for a coach because of the cap issues and what, you know, they had to do from a player personnel standpoint. So I would actually say that even though I think Staley does belong at the top right now, I'm still impressed with what the Falcons have done, given all the challenges they had coming in.
Yeah, no, same here. David Walker joining us from the Falcoholic on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. So coming out of this bye week, I think this is really manageable. I think you can get 2 out of 3. I don't know that you'll get all three, but you've got 2 weeks for Jacoby Brissett. You get Sam Darnold, who's come back to earth the last couple of weeks, and then you get Jameis Winston. Can the Falcons win 2 out of 3 and get to 4-4?
I think so. And you look at the Panthers, Christian McCaffrey has been put on IR now. He won't be in that game when we face them on October 31st either. So that is, you know, a good change for the Falcons. They've sort of faced a murderer's row of defensive fronts, and these three teams are not going to be the same level of the pass rush that we've seen over the first 5 weeks for the Falcons. That gives me hope that this offense can potentially get going. I mean, they got going against the Jets without their two top wide receivers in, with Kyle Pitts essentially running the show in the receiving game and Cordarrelle Patterson. If they get those guys back, if they get Russell Gage back, if they get Calvin Ridley back, There's no reason they can't win two out of three. And honestly, if you're asking me to bet on Jameis Winston, I'm not taking that bet.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. I would not ride with Jameis, that's for sure. One of the things that has been a great improvement, and I get it, it's a small sample size, but the red zone offense the last 4 weeks has been one of the best in the NFL. What are you seeing that is different that is leading to touchdowns as opposed to field goals?
You know, honestly, it's actually simple things. With the passing plays, they're using concepts that most successful NFL teams do. And they use a lot of pick plays in the goal line. And honestly, it's something that in the time that we had Dirk Koetter here, it was sort of maddening that we never saw them execute that. Mm-hmm. So it's really these simple plays where Arthur Smith is creating these great wide open opportunities. And this is what we brought him here for. It's not necessarily that, you know, he's running complex patterns, but he's doing a lot of the simple, very effective things. And I think we're going to see more of that. And that's why, you know, he had one of the best red zone scoring offenses the past 2 years in Tennessee.
You know, I think a lot of people were, I don't know if freaking out was the right word, but they were definitely concerned the first couple of weeks, the way mm-hmm. Arthur Smith either used or didn't use Kyle Pitts. But now you have a couple of breakout games, most notably against the Jets, and he's on pace to almost eclipse Mike Ditka's rookie tight end record. What are you seeing from Kyle Pitts that maybe the light bulb has gone on?
Well, I think the thing we forget is the tight end position. The reason it is so difficult is this particular position in Arthur Smith offense has to run routes out of every position. He has to run routes as a wide receiver, as an inline tight end, in the slot. That is a very, very big lift for any player. You know, it's not a single responsibility. And I think what we're seeing is that Kyle Pitts is beginning to get the entire playbook. He's beginning to understand the responsibilities and what's being asked of him. I think also it's part of it is trust, you know, building that trust with Matt Ryan, knowing where he's going to find him on the field, knowing that he's going to be in the right route at the right place at the right time. It just takes time. And I think that's the biggest factor we're seeing is that with time, his talent's beginning to show, but you know, he and Ryan are getting on the same page now.
You know, I think we all obsess over the rookie tight end because he was the fourth overall pick, but maybe mm-hmm. as important, or maybe even more importantly, is the second year class from 2 years ago. What are you yes. seeing from AJ Terrell this year that has shown some growth and development?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to focus on the three penalties he's had in four games, which certainly he has to clean that up. But what I'm focusing on is the fact that this guy has allowed just 37.5% receptions, just six receptions on 16 targets, a total of 42 yards, 28 of which were on one reception. Mm-hmm. He is playing phenomenal. And he is – I don't want to call him a shutdown corner yet because I think that's a little bit too far. I think teams are intentionally targeting Fabian Moreau on the other side. But he has been in position. We saw in the Buccaneers game where he batted away two passes that saved touchdowns. He has taken a massive step forward, and he may legitimately be turning into one of those corners that can lock down a part of the field for a substantial portion of the game.
You know, you look at this defense and, you know, there's going to be points allowed. And when you look at the points allowed column, you see the number. But, you know, there was a couple of pick sixes in that Tampa Bay game that really is not mm-hmm. attributable to this Falcons defense. What have you seen from Dean Pease through 5 weeks with this defense as opposed to maybe what we saw last year?
You know, I think we knew the pass rush was going to be hit and miss. They were going to have to go up against lesser offensive lines. We saw them have success against the Giants, which have one of the worst offensive lines in football. What I've actually been surprised by is how well the secondary has played in stretches. Now, they've had moments, as many defenses do, but the thing that stands out the most is that they have been far more successful in key situations than what we've seen in the past, particularly in third downs, in forcing three and outs or getting off the field on third down, and in fourth down stops. That's something I think, you know, we never saw the Falcons succeed in under Dan Quinn. So it's those key situations where they seem to be really delivering more than pass defenses. They're going to give up yards. Mm-hmm. They're going to give up points, but they are getting off the field a little bit more consistently than what we've seen in the past.
David Walker joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, Jalen Mayfield was criticized early on, but when you look at this offensive line right now, how would you evaluate what you have seen? Is there reason for optimism with this unit from left to right tackle, or is this still a big issue?
I think there's reason to be optimistic for the most part. I still think Caleb McGarry at right tackle needs to prove that he's worth that first-round pick the Falcons invested in him a couple years ago. Mayfield, he's probably still a subpar starter, but that's actually a big improvement from where he was in week one. Mm-hmm. Matt Hennessy is quietly turning into sort of a league average center in his first year starting, which is, you know, really great progress. The thing that stands out to me is the Jets came into the last game with 13 sacks. They were tied for third in the league. They didn't touch Matt Ryan once. They didn't bring him down the entire game. And he had time in the pocket, and that's why I think he had one of his best games, really, not just this year, but over the past 3 years. And that, a lot of that comes down to the offensive line, I think, finally coming together. And now I want to see them continue to improve in run blocking, because if they can open up those running lanes, I really think this offense could hit its stride in the next few weeks. And, you know, when you're talking about that schedule, as you mentioned earlier, if this offense gets going against some of these other teams, they could surprise some folks.
And speaking of the schedule, my producer Eric Slaughter made a great point. You know, we're going to come off of the London game with a bye 2 weeks to get ready for Miami. But Miami's in London. They play the Jaguars tomorrow, and they don't get a week off. They got to come all the way back across the pond and play the Falcons in 1 week.
Yeah, that's brutal for them. But it seems like this is the first time where the Falcons are getting the plus side of the scheduling this year, especially with the fact that they had a home game in London with only 8 games at home this year. But yeah, that could certainly play into, you know, the Dolphins' fatigue. And honestly, I look at the Panthers, look at the Saints. Really, the Cowboys is, I think, the next game on the schedule after these next three, where I'm not feeling very comfortable about their chances. But these next three are winnable. I'm not saying they're going to win them all. I'm a Falcons fan, so I know never to make that prediction. but if this offense gets going, I think that they can at least stay in all of these games and be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to get an interesting second half. We're at least in the hunt for maybe that 7 seed for the wild card. And I think it's an opportunity to cash in, because I don't know that you're ever going to get an easier schedule from a quarterbacking standpoint. Yet Jalen Hurts, Daniel Jones, Taylor Heineke, Zach Wilson. You get Brissett, Darnold, and Jameis. You mentioned Dak. He's a stud. And then you get more rookies with Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance. I mean, we're facing all of the rookie draft class from this past quarterback class.
This is why I think a lot of people felt like the Falcons could be a sneaky pick for that last spot in the playoffs this year. And to your point, they're facing a lot of young quarterbacks. And a veteran defensive coordinator like Dean Pease likes to rattle those guys. He likes to get them off the mark. We saw that last week with Wilson. I think that if they play up to their potential, which we know is, don't place any bets on that, but if they play up to their potential and what we saw the last couple weeks on offense, this is a team that could get to 8, 9, maybe even 10 wins and really sneak in at the back end of the playoffs. And honestly, with the way they started this season, it's quite the turnaround that we're talking about that just after 5 weeks.
All right, final one for you. I got about a minute and a half left. And I know this is very premature, but I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. Is it possible that Calvin Ridley does not see a second contract with the Falcons?
Ooh, you know, we've actually talked about that at the site. And I'll tell you what, of all the players on this offense, he's been the most disappointing. And I love Calvin. I think he's got a tremendous amount of potential. He does have, you know, that fifth-year option coming up. If he continues to play like this, if he can't clean up the drops, if he can't, avoid running left-right instead of north-south, I think the Falcons may wait to see how he does in that fifth year instead of making a long-term commitment. I don't think it's unreasonable, especially when you're a team that's got cap constraints. You want to make sure that when you spend that money on wide receiver one, it's going to be a guy that's going to live up to that. And right now, Calvin has not. I hope he finishes this season strong and proves that he deserves that second contract. But right now, I think it's 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I said back in July he was going to be a first-team All-Pro. I mean, so life comes at you fast. Now, all of a sudden in October, I'm asking you about his future. But with Pitts, with Patterson, with the cap constraints, and knowing that whatever money you do have, you might want to spend a little bit on defense. I think it's worth asking the question what his future is.
Absolutely. You have to be smart in this league with how you spend your money, and overspending on a receiver that's not cutting it when he was finally given the chance is a great way to sink your franchise quickly.
David Walker, great stuff as always. Thanks for the time on a Saturday, bud. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Nick.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.